The title has something to do with the word Babel. It's about language and translation. Now, I haven't read the book, and I do admire George Steiner very much. His book called Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, the alternative of the godlike or the demonic writer. But I listened for 20 minutes to this erudite review, and I am here to tell you I did not receive one thing from it. I listened. I really did listen. Yeah. I received nothing, and it wasn't that I was resisting it.
No, no.
There's far too much said about too little. But there's also now papers come like in the wheelbarrow. They're so heavy, the Sunday papers. I mean the cultured papers. There's some idea that you have to be very erudite and very pedantic, and if possible, not get to the point.
Exactly. In order to influence.
It's a curious, voluble impetus. Mm-hmm. I love very, very direct, if necessary, incisive scalpel approach.
Yes,
and that doesn't mean I like people who denigrate. I don't like denigration. Maybe. Thank you. They look like sweets, but they're not.
They're lovely, yeah. They're cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Mm. Well, thank you.
Well,
the same thing has happened in the visual arts. I mean, every critic is trying to be terribly erudite, putting these words on paper and this nonsense that they think the artist is thinking this, you see.
Yeah, I know. I read the other day an interview with Ingmar Bergman, and was a film of his called The Silence, which was a very interesting female erotic film. The interviewer said to him, well, if we take the simile of the crucifixion, The Silence makes much more sense. And Ingmar Bergman, God bless him, said, I think that's going too far.
Yeah.
I mean, all this symbolism, and also I think, though, there is another reason for it. Everyone, or most people, unless they're saint-like, have a longing to make their mark, as the phrase goes.
Yes, yes.
To make apart from earning their living, to be someone.
Yes, their ego.
Their ego. And I suppose it's thought that the more you make of that, that the more important it will be, whereas, in fact, the reverse is true. The simplest statement, as Ernest Hemingway knew very well, the simplest statement is always the most touching. And it reaches cerebral people just as much as it does non-cerebral or emotional. And I think that also I think a lot of people suffer, and in America actually more than here, from being over-educated.
Hmm.
They've been given all this fucking vocabulary.
Yes.
They feel they have to use it, and these words like motivation and semi-psychological words that have crept into the, you know, subliminal, all these words, and minimal and causality, all these words which are, they ring untrue because they are not felt.
They don't come from nature, sort of the rhythm.
Or they don't come from the person being conscious of what he or she is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I really think, you know, who is it? John Donne, who has said ripeness is all. I think actually consciousness is all. Because if you're really conscious, as Proust must have been, I mean, divinely conscious.
And Goethe.
You see everything. You see everything. You hear everything.
Yeah.
And you can tell everything. But it's a very hard state to arrive at. I had an odd experience in New York. I love the poems of T.S. Eliot, and you know that poem, "O teach us, Lord, to sit still." It's Ash Wednesday. And I was staying in somebody's house, and one morning I read, there was a picture on the wall, and I read it rather quickly, and just remembered sentences out of it that jumped. Like, love is as perennial as the grass, be gentle with yourself, go quietly amid the noise and something, for all its sham, deceit, and hollowness, it is still a beautiful world. And I thought, that's a wonderful thing, and I asked the man where it came from, and he said, oh, it was found in a tombstone in Baltimore. Have you ever heard of this? So then my son came over to New York, which he loved. And as he said, I'm becoming the all-American person. Peanut butter sandwiches and milkshakes and going to the cinema at 2 in the morning. And he said, I sent Granny, that's my mother, he said, I sent Granny a present. Thank you. She will love. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's a beautiful scroll. And he began to recite it to me. God, that's uncanny. Because I've just read that and been so affected by it, because it's so sensible. And it's not messianic, it's just sensible. And I then came home to my house wondering if I could get it in England, where I'd get a copy of it. I'd like to read it every day. And there someone had sent it to me for Christmas. Now that little chain, isn't it? That little chain of events. And the world is full of little chains that we sometimes step on. So we miss them. And I believe in coincidence.
This is danger of too much education. Because your bog is, your mind is bogged down with this.
And your bog is minded.
Cheers.
Good luck, Will.
Cheers.
God bless. Thank you. Simply Walton's lunch. Why simply?
Yeah.
Can't it be complexly?
This is lovely.
It is. I haven't been here for about since Easter last I was here. But it is beautiful.
Yeah, the presentation is so good.
Yes, and this color.
Everything. Love the color. And this
oyster.
Yes.
Who are the are they drawings on the wall, pictures that you...
Oh, yes, Lowell Nesbitt. He shows it in a gallery in New York. And he had, I think he had a show here in London. Obviously, this is where they got them.
Marvelous.
They certainly are nice here.
Do you know what you're going to be having? I like the words, a creamy turmeric sauce.
Yes.
Turmeric means?
Turmeric.
Turmeric. Turmeric. Turmeric
is a spice.
Spice. What's tumid then?
Tumid.
Do you and I last know. Night in the, at T.S. Eliot I was reading and it occurred the word and I went to look it up and the phone rang. Oh. You know those things?
Yes.
You know those?
T-U-M-I-D. Tumid. I don't know. I'll look that up.
I think it's slightly heavier.
Oh. Yeah.
I think I'm going to have the vegetable antipasto. I think that would be beautiful. I love vegetables and I have read lately that the secret of life don't die is raw vegetables.
Yes. Well,
and
that's
all the vitamins.
That's Gaylord Houser's.
Yes. We must go back to reading that. I'm sure all the new nature books are done just a repeat of his.
Oh, and absolutely.
His
he was the first.
Yes, he was the person.
I think Adele Davis took things a little further than he did.
I don't know Adele Davis.
She was an American author who has since died, but her books were not only, eat vegetables and how to prepare them, how to...
you mean any old way won't keep them
right.
Going?
Yes, exactly. And what particular things will help particular, if you have high blood pressure, for instance, eat things with large concentrations of vitamin B and vitamin E.
We're discussing health. Is the vegetable antipasto, do you like that? It's
very
lovely.
Good. Yes, nice and tomatoey.
Yes.
Very light.
Good.
Interesting vegetable.
I think I'd like that, please. And then I'd like the lamb cutlets. And if they could be fairly well done, it would please me.
Do you like them done like that, with form, or do you just like them plain grilled?
Plain grilled, plain grilled with herbs.
What will you have, Will?
I'll have a Solomon Grundy and the cutlets as well. And I'd like them just grilled with some herbs.
Yeah. Well done?
Yes, fairly well done.
Well done. Well, so if we get ours mixed up, it won't matter. That's my thinking.
I'll have the antipasto. And the... I'll have the lamb cutlet.
Gosh, how in accord we are.
Yeah,
plain or...
Gourmet with sauce. Yes. The Soyuz classic sauce.
Yes. Yes. I'll have the sauce. And medium, please.
And some really nice vegetables. Do you have
vegetables?
Yes, we'll bring the selection. I love vegetables. Yes. You know, talking of illness, is this going on the table? It doesn't matter what we talk about today.
No, had you rather continue with champagne, or would you like some red wine?
I will have one more glass of champagne.
Oh, good.
And that'll be it. We'll do it with the dinner. Now, what would you...
So, I think so, yes. Would you like wine, really? Yeah. All right.
California never passes up wine.
Yes. I love wine, but it makes me sleepy in the middle of the day. The thing is, champagne would drink too much of it, but I'm taking it easy.
Yes, and you're working this afternoon.
With you?
Yeah.
With you?
All of it, yeah.
But not otherwise.
Yeah.
No, I have to go to a gathering this evening, which is causing me a small piece of nervousness. I have to see someone who I know will... Which is the nicer bread? This one? Is it? I like brown bread. I have this. Having asked you. You know, Keats has a wonderful line. Which says, touch has a memory. And what I'm about to experience this evening is simply through another person, the memory of someone that I am burying, if you know what I mean. I have to go to a party and see somebody I know who was a friend of somebody I was very attached to.
Yeah.
And I'm already nervous doing it because I know I'll be okay. I won't say or do anything. But it's just that old palpitation, you know.
Yeah.
Not only touch has a memory, but association has such a memory, really.
Edna, I read somewhere where you said that you could tell men by the touch through their hands. But could you explain a little more about that?
Well, I believe that what attracts us, or equally so, sorry, what repels us, or our sense of another person is only partly to do with language and vision, what we see and what we hear. But there is a third factor which is quite intangible, and it is to do with their innerness, whatever they are, whether they are rogues or lovers or saints. That is what we perceive, but we pretend it's the other thing. We say, I don't like so-and-so because he talks too much. It isn't really that he talks too much. It's everything. It's the voice and the chemistry. And I feel that very strongly. I believe very strongly in the invisible. Now, I know that Galileo would say to me, well, look at the stars and you'll have plenty to be going on with. Trouble is, I'm not a chemist or a scientist. In fact, technically, I am a chemist, which is funny. But I love information and knowing everything.
Yeah.
But I also believe there is some other factor, and that's, I think, what I meant. Mm-hmm. Is that an answer? Do you understand what I mean?
Intangible
thing, why one likes... The first time I ever saw a painting, it was of Rembrandt's mother. I didn't know it was Rembrandt's mother, and I just knew it was a wonderful painting. I went into a shop when I first came to London to buy a Marini horse. I didn't know it was a Marini horse. I couldn't afford it, but I just knew. And that isn't to say, I don't mean it arrogantly or anything. I mean that horse told me how good it was, not that I knew or was a judge or anything.
Yeah.
I have a friend in New York who works for CBS, a woman friend by the name of Sylvia Chase, and she does a CBS radio program called Women. It's a woman's program. And it would be very nice if sometime at your convenience we could do a tape interview for her. Would that be any problem?
In New York?
No, here.
Here?
Right here.
Yeah. Can you give me a couple of weeks to breathe?
Oh, yeah.
Because I owe Mike Nichols the film. I not only owe Mike Nichols the film, if I'd rent it, they'll be around to get me. And I've had, since I came back, I'm in a very funny position now. My books, sell quite well in England, but English sales are meaningless. Sell not nearly enough in America, but I get letters every day from students who are doing... writing about me. I should be honored and flattered. But it's a big decision every day if you open 20 letters. You can't see them all. You cannot. You can't work there and function and cook the dinner.
Yeah.
And I find myself torn between my good heart
mm-hmm.
and my ruthless heart. Do you know what I mean?
She might be very well. If her books aren't selling in America, she has an audience of something like 35 million every time she's on
very
the air.
Very good. At least 35 people on one of them. Thanks very much. Sylvia Chase.
Yes.
Where do you live? Do you live in Ireland? Or?
Yes, I live in the same house that Charles does.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
And you work for CBS?
I freelance. Yes.
You freelance, yes.
I work for all three American television networks.
So how do, as a matter of interest now, how do you taking photographs apply to them? That's the bit I don't understand.
Well, I normally do motion picture.
Ah, yes. If there's...
Yeah. I did a documentary for them on Mayor Daley of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And they practically rebuilt the little town of Dungarvan down in County Wexford.
Really?
Yeah, so we did it. Built them a new church and he's trying to buy his way into heaven, you know.
How is it connected with Dungarvan? Is he from there?
Yeah,
and did he come there?
No, his ancestors were from there.
Oh, so you did a kind of around him?
Yeah,
yes.
We did a lot on the coffin ships and that sort of thing.
I'd love to have seen that, actually. If I come to Ireland, would you show it? Or you can't?
I can't. It's in Chicago.
Chicago. I was in Chicago.
I'm getting a print of it, however.
Chicago Airport is the most bewildering.
Horrible.
Lunatic asylum I've ever been in.
I hate you, don't you?
I hate it.
What? Forever.
But what are you talking about? Forever? I almost missed my plane. But shall I tell you my greatest piece of dilemma, which in a way is typical of Chicago more than of me? I suddenly couldn't remember whether I was going to Grand Rapids or Cedar Rapids. Quite understandable, you know? It is a very, very symbolic, isn't it? And I... Nobody I could ask. There was not a person with these monitor television screens. But both had flights to both places. And where I was really going was to Iowa Workshop, Rutgers Workshop University. So I thought, now, how? A, I couldn't find a man. But B, if I did, how do I go up to him and say, which would you say Iowa Writers Workshop is contingent on, to use a word they would use, Cedar Rapids or Grand Rapids? I went to the right place eventually, but
which
just
was
by
it?
Flute. I forget. I think it's Cedar.
Well, Iowa would be Cedar Rapids.
I think
Grand
it's Cedar.
Rapids is
Cedar. Oh, yeah.
I think it was Cedar. No, but that would
that's
be fine.
Funny.
That would be
yeah.
fine.
Oh, but
in a couple of weeks.
I'll call you.
Yeah. And
I mentioned to Will about that I thought you'd be so wonderful as Zima in The Gathering. And maybe it'd be something to think about to film it. And,
but I'd have to get somebody who wanted to do it, wouldn't I?
Wanted to film it?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
I mean, I need a producer.
Yeah.
Who's producing your Nichols film?
Mike, John Warner Brothers, John Calais.
Yeah.
Unless we could do it for television. What about CBS?
30 minutes.
Would, 30, oh, it's much longer, huh?
Much longer, yeah.
Oh, it's 2 hours.
Edited, yeah.
But those...
pardon me, an hour.
CBS is, and NBC as well have now full-length films that they shoot themselves.
I know. I wonder, could you help me in that, Will?
I could sure find out.
You could find out and maybe have them read it.
Yeah.
Because it does...
Especially if you were playing the part.
Oh, yes. And the thing, if I was playing the part, is I'd play it well, wouldn't I?
Oh,
don't you think?
You'd be wonderful.
You see, on television, I could read through a monitor.
Yes.
I mean, on stage,
yes.
What?
Yes.
Stage
yes.
Fright.
Yes.
How do they do
yes.
it? I really
how
think actors are brave.
Yeah.
I think they're brave, and I also think they're very disciplined. Because my biggest fear, first night, would be the lion thing. But I believe all actors have that fear. Their greatest fear.
But you'd have no
Olivia
trouble extemporizing because you wrote it.
That's true. Well, that would be wonderful. Will I give you a copy or would you ask them first?
No, I would like to have a copy because it gives me something to talk about.
Hmm. Charles saw it. Did you like the play, Charles?
It
was appallingly.
It was full of social message and it was a beautiful production. I loved it. Beautiful play.
No.
Not as well done as it should have been.
No.
But the Americans, for some reason, have this love affair with Ireland.
Well, they haven't. They haven't, Will. I mean, no Irish writers sell there. And I've had trouble getting this play on in America. Mm. They say it's too Irish. They have a love affair, but it doesn't apply to the arts. It applies to pubs, bars.
That's right. Yes.
P.J. Clark and characters. Yes. I mean, Brendan Lee, and God rest him. Yeah. And he was a wonderful writer, but his charisma was not his work,
no, it was his personality.
But his personality. And in fact, in a curious way, his work got not ignored, but his work has since suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Because people mm-hmm. forget what a good writer he was and keep remembering what a fine fella he was.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's a pity.
Mm. But they love you in America.
I think they say they do.
Yes, they do.
They do, I think. I had a lovely time. The universities. A boy came up to me and he said, I'm part Indian. He said, you are the earth, the air, the birds, and the water. I said, could I have that in writing? I'll need that in the long nights.
The press is very good to you there.
Yes. My last book, A Scandalous Woman, got reviewed wonderfully there. I didn't sell any copies, 1,000 copies.
No. Only?
2,000, to be quite honest. No good, I can't live on it.
Time magazine reviewed it.
Did they?
They reviewed one of your books last year.
I don't know. I don't get reviews because it depresses me.
No, it was that.
I asked the publisher.
Send only the good ones.
I love writing, though. I think Andy Warhol said the most really profound thing when he said everyone should be a superstar for a day. Because that would take away jealousy and ire and misunderstanding between those who do and those who do not do. I know him, Andy Warhol. He's a very good friend of mine. And he always says he wants me to be in a film of his. And I always say, next year. Next year. But I like his films. I think Trash. Did you ever see Trash?
No, I didn't.
Trash is amazing. Some of them are a bit long and a little bit
Why
rampant.
Is he going into this Dracula thing?
It's
the horror
Paul.
Movie.
It's Paul more than Andy. Paul Morrissey.
Paul Morrissey, yes.
I think, with all sort of fair due respect, they're quite interested in what catches on as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is now, you know, this new book, Magic and Myth.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel Brooks has a film, Frankenstein, which is half mile long in New York. And there's a great interest in the occult. I mean, there's crops of books because people are so displeased with or bored with or dissatisfied with the real, you know. I'd say that's why. I haven't seen those films.
What is the name of the Mel Brooks film?
Frankenstein. I think the crumb is the thing, isn't it?
Could I get you some water?
No. Okay. Is it Frankenstein is Dead? Is that the title?
Could be. He'd be the perfect one to do a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
He's really insane.
Mel Brooks. Yes. He's great, isn't he?
Oh, he's gorgeous.
He's great.
I heard Andy might come to Ireland and bring his whole crew there.
I think that was some time ago. He was going to go to Lindy and Sheridan. Dufferin's in the north.
All up there, oh yeah.
I don't know. Did you have my new story as A Scandalous Woman?
No,
you
I haven't read it.
Oh gosh, I'm trying. I'll get you a copy as we go. I have one, I think, at home, but we're not going back
home.
Well,
I'll buy one if we go buy
No, but I, no, I'll buy it because I'd like
no,
you to
I'll
have
buy
it.
It.
No, it's a very nice beginning. They're good, I think, stories. Because in our village, everyone was unique. But one or two of the girls were beautiful.
What is the story?
Would be a marvellous film. Now, that would be a wonderful film. The story, I'll tell you three more lines of the text and then I'll tell you the story. In our village, everyone was unique and one or two of the girls were blue. There were others before and after her, but it was with Josie I was connected. Sometimes one finds oneself in the swim. One is needed, one is wanted, one is privy. And then it happens, the destiny, and then it's over. And one knows alas that it's about to be someone else's turn. Hers was the face of a Madonna. She had brown hair, a great crop of it, and eyes that were as big and as soft and as ripe and as translucent as gooseberries. Goes
that's
into
lovely,
the story.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful story.
Yeah,
I'd love to get it. I really, you know, that would be my pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Emily.
Think of the shame of going into a shop and they say, oh, we don't have that. I'd be so disappointed.
Well, if we can't find it, I'd get it in Dublin.
That's true. Well, we might find it. We might.
Well, Edna, do you think someday you will live in New York?
I do. It's a very funny thing. Have you ever thought how weekend, without knowing it, to relive our parents' lives?
We do.
Without knowing it.
Yeah.
We marry one or other of our actual parents. Mm-hmm. As we grow old, women particularly, I see my mother's face in my face in the mirror. And I always had a great desire to go to New York because my mother went there as a young girl in 1914. She left her mountain cottage or holding and she worked as a maid in houses. And then she, that's why I'd love to see your film, Mayor Daly. I'd love to see that period. She then graduated to working in a shop and she came home. She married my father, went back to New York, and my brother was born there. So I might in fact have been born in New York, but for circumstances, mainly money ran out. I would rather to have one glass of champagne, if it's all right with you.
Certainly, you can have as much as you like.
No. So that, and the person I was married to, whom, I don't know if you know him.
I don't. No,
a not
I
nice man, a horrible man, yeah. I don't mind saying that. Mm. Except that I don't regret it. But they're beautiful children, really beautiful. Well, he lived in New York and was married to somebody in New York.
Before
me.
Before you.
And my mother has stitched, which is in the house. What a pity we didn't photograph it. Did you notice that in the hall there's a rose in the heart of New York?
No, I didn't.
The boxes are all there, all the books. It's quite beautiful, innocent, flower-like. Mm. And the soldiers going to the front with the bayonets on their shoulders. And I had always a great longing to go to New York. But I fear, I dread violence, as who doesn't, you know?
Yes.
And I was always very nervous when I went there for a week or two. But this time I was there for 3 months. And I met more people that I really dug, men and women. And felt more alive there. People
yes, I
had going to classes, women. I really wished I was a lesbian when I was in New York. I met more women. I don't mean chic New York women. They're boring.
Yeah.
with chains and rings and their nails well done and their conversation.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
But women like, say, Barbara Loden, who is an actress and director, I met, and Maria Tucci was my great friend, also an actress. And lots of women going to classes, acting classes, singing classes, dancing classes, Chinese alive. Breathing, alive and full of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it, you know, I felt, and I had such a good time. And when I say that, I don't mean anything wonderful, no wonderful romance, not that, a different kind of time.
A spiritual,
yes, spiritual, and using the old brain a bit,
mm-hmm.
and going to, as I say, all these classes, and going, and the best thing I have ever seen, I saw in New York, and that is the La Mama Theatre production of the Greek tragedies, of Medea, Electra, and the Trojan Women. Did you ever see the La Mama? You have to go.
I will do it.
Peter Brook is great.